5881057 The Fan. It's time to feed you some more football NFL lunch style. Calais Campbell, former Baltimore Raven, late of the Falcons, signs a deal with the Miami Dolphins. Calais Campbell's a guy that's accomplished a lot of great things throughout his career. He had 6.5 sacks last year for Atlanta. One thing that's eluded him, championship. And Miami, they're a playoff caliber team. They've made the postseason 2 years in a row. I don't know if they're the best team in the AFC, but you know, they got a chance if they can get to the postseason. So Calais Campbell, well-respected throughout his career in every stop and in Baltimore. He certainly seemed like a guy that was a Raven at heart.
Well, Bob, he was with Anthony Weaver here. Now Anthony Weaver's the D coordinator there, so probably brought him down there. And Calais played at the University of Miami, so he's back home again.
Yeah, good for him, Calais Campbell. 38 years old, believe it or not. Something we've also talked about today, National Football League. Trevor Lawrence, he gets the big extension from Jacksonville, $200 million guaranteed dollars, 5 years, $275. And look at his numbers, Vinny. Ugh. 50 games into his career regular season.
Yep.
Rookie year, we throw that out. I mean, that was a disaster with Urban Meyer. Yeah. I mean, its quarterback rating was 72, 17 picks, 12 touchdowns. Second year in the league with Peterson taking over, 25 touchdowns, 8 picks. Quarterback rating was 95.
Okay.
And they made the championship. They went to the playoffs, won a game, as a matter of fact. Last year, 16 games, 21 touchdowns, 14 picks. Quarterback rating dipped to 88. Did throw for over 4,000 yards. Was sacked 35 times. Was hurt, apparently. But this is a hefty deal for a guy that has long been considered high upside, and I'm not saying he isn't, but at his ceiling, Mahomes is the greatest quarterback,
yes,
maybe ever when it's all said and done. But Lamar, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, that level. And if I'm forgetting someone you're a fan of, I apologize. But can he ever ascend to that?
I mean, Bobby's been like so inconsistent. Because, like, if you just keep mentioning names of guys, you're not going to get to Trevor Lawrence for a while, in my opinion. I mean, there's going to be, like you said, the Mahomes and the Lamars and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Lawrence?
Yeah, you can make a strong argument. He's not even the best quarterback in his division. That's C.J. Stroud right now.
No doubt.
And who knows what Richardson could be for the Colts. And apparently people like Levis's upside there with the Titans.
Yeah. Because everybody said Trevor Lawrence was going to be the Andrew Luck type guy, and he hadn't come close to that. The one, Peterson's first year, he had good numbers, and they won a playoff game, and then he kind of stepped back this year. So, to me, they're gambling big time because – do you really know what you have? You're hoping, but I guess they're looking at is what option, what is our other options?
Yeah, turnovers have been a problem for him, as
no
we
doubt.
Talked about. For his career, 58 touchdowns, 39 picks, but hey, it's his money. Enjoy it. And I still think he can be good. And if he's good, then Jacksonville's going to be good. We talk about the AFC North being strong, and it is, but that AFC South could be very interesting here in 2024. But let's get back to the Ravens and Roquan Smith. He's a stud. And John Harbaugh was asked about Roquan, not just as a player, but of a leader of men.
That's exactly what he does, Todd. I mean, he does lead by example. He does it every way. I mean, he's also a vocal leader. He's also a kind of an inspirational leader. He does it on the field. He does it in the weight room. He does it in the meeting room. He's one of those guys, you know, one of those special kind of guys.
I totally agree. I mean, Bob, you watch him out of practice. He's coaching everybody. Look at what he did for Patrick Queen. I mean, we weren't big on Pat. I mean, Patrick Queen was kind of like see, register, react.
Well, we can go back before the trade, and I asked you point blank, are they going to pick up his fifth-year option? And you were like, nope.
Yeah.
And they didn't, but for a different reason, because they traded for Roquan and paid him instead.
Bob, the thing that I still can't fathom is, what did Chicago see? I mean, he's 25 years old when they traded him. And he's the best linebacker in the league. He's a, what's his negative? He's not an a-hole, or, you know, I mean, he's a great guy. He's a leader. Great in the weight room. I mean, I don't, to me, those are the kind of guys you build around. You don't trade them.
88-80-105-7 The Fan, NFL Lunch. You mentioned Patrick Queen. He's now in Pittsburgh. I guess, as Patrick Queen said, it's a better place for him. And he hated seafood. Did he really say that? Didn't he go to LSU? I mean, yeah. New Orleans, Louisiana, it's nothing but seafood. It's all they eat. Well, 90% of the time. But here's Trenton Simpson's taking over. And Harbsy, how's old Trenton Simpson looking?
You know, I think he's done a great job. Trenton is he's a quick learner. Something even as simple as pump protection footwork, which he was, as a, he played a little bit as a rookie. First couple of days of the phase two stuff, he really didn't look very good with the footwork. You know, like everything else, we're chasing perfection and we're confronting every issue. We confronted the punt footwork, and now he looks fantastic. I mean, he's perfect in what he's doing out there. I think that is kind of an example of all the other stuff he's doing on defense. He knows what he's doing out there. Now, the next step will be training camp, preseason games, and on from there.
I can't agree more. I mean, Bob, last year at this time, I was saying he was lost in space. Looked like he ran 4.9, and he had no clue what he was doing. And he's changed his body. He looks great physically. He's gotten bigger. He added weight. And he's moving around good, playing much faster. And you know what, Bob? Last year, he never got a chance to play with Roquan because it was always Patrick. And the other thing about it is, when he was at Clemson, Bobby, he was playing 9 million positions. So now he's just settled into one spot, learning one spot. And I think that's why he's making great strides. He's probably, of anybody out there, Bob, he maybe has improved more than anybody from last year at this time to now. Because last year at this time, he wasn't a player. This year, you can't, I mean, he looks like a player.
And he's going to have to take a quantum leap, maybe, and we've said it. Replacing 133 tackles, probably not realistic, but what's a fair expectation for him?
I'm saying over 80 would be fair. And then if he gets over 100, then, you know, what some people think that he's could be or would be better than Patrick Queen, that he's taking those steps.
Yeah, Roquan needs to start taking 5% of people's paychecks. If that
agreed, more than that
becomes part of the equation. And finally, here's John Harbaugh talking about a guy on offense we're all excited about, Isaiah Likely.
Happy with Isaiah, I guess, as expected, you know, and work ethic too. Locked in every single day, been here every day. Another guy who's been here every day. I have so many of the guys that have done that, and it shows. So he's talented. He's going to be a big part of what we do.
He looks more fluid to me this year. He looks and much more natural. Maybe he's got a ton more confidence coming in. And maybe, Bob, because he knows more than what we do, you know, that they're going to run a lot more two tights and he's going to be much more involved in the play. But he looks really good, looks fast. He's jumping, making plays, making one-handed catches. But he really is ready to take that next step.
It's 88-80-105-7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East Report. Look at last night's games. We'll look at the schedule for this weekend as well. And an updated look at the standings, not only in the East, but beyond. And then Jack Fritz is going to be joining us, WIP, talk about the Fightin' Phils coming to town. One of the best teams in baseball record-wise. They're one of the top run-producing teams in baseball. And they're one of the best teams at preventing teams from scoring runs. So we got a lot to get to here on this Featured Artist Friday. By the way, Phil Collins. In the division, both teams have won 7 of their last 10. Boston above 500 now, 35-34. They're still 13 games back of New York, 11.5 back of the Orioles. Toronto's 14.5 back, and then Tampa bringing up the rear. They are 15 back. In the Central, Cleveland's 5 games up on the Kansas City Royals. Minnesota 7.5 back. And why is all this interesting? Because, and we're not going to start doing wild card standings till July 1st. I've made a rule here. We might mention it every now and again, but we won't start digging into it more in depth. But a lot of teams still competing here as they see it for possible postseason stuff. Out in the West, Seattle, They're doing some good things. They're only team still above 500 in that division. They're 5.5 up on Texas. Houston ate off the pace. The Orioles will see them next weekend. In the National League, the East, Philadelphia, 9 games up on the Braves, rather. The Nationals, one of those teams. They're just kind of hanging around, and they just took 3 out of 4 from Atlanta last weekend. They're in wild card stuff. Hey, the Mets are still clanking around the wild cards if you're into that stuff, even though they're 15.5 games back. In the Central, the Brujas, they're 5.5 up here on the St. Louis, or 6.5, I should say, on the Cardinals. Cardinals started to get it together a little bit when they swept the Orioles. They leveled off a little bit, but they're still hanging around. Cincinnati, 7 back. Cubs are 7.5 back. Pittsburgh's last place. They're 8 back. And out west, it's the Dodgers. They are 5 games up, or 6 games up. I can't see. They're 6 games up on the Giants. 7.5, or the Padres 6, Giants 7.5, Diamondbacks, defending National League champions. They're 8.5 games off the pace. So that's your standings report, Major League Baseball, heading into this weekend. And we start determining things, but again, not to get too much into building it up more than it really is. This Orioles-Philly series is interesting, and hopefully it's going to be entertaining, but neither team's season is living and dying over what happens over the next 3 days here.
No, it's just an anticipated series, not by the fans especially. It's sold out. There's going to be a lot of Philly fans. And as a player, you get a little more juice because it's sold out and it's going to be exciting. And it's got big game atmosphere.
Well, it's a litmus test for sure. But Orioles are 20-8 this year against teams above 500, so they've risen to the occasion. You don't have a 600-plus winning percentage without beating good teams, and you don't have a season in which you win 101 games, and you're on pace to even exceed that here. They're 3-1 against the Yankees. They've dominated the American League East as of late, which they'll get back into next midweek at the Bronx. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. When we come back, however, we're going to talk about the Phillies with Jack Fritz from WIP up in Philadelphia. And we're going to get a U.S. Open report, as that thing is, well, there was a hole in one.
Yeah.
I don't know who did it, but we're sitting here watching it on TV, and it was a pretty impressive blast at that. Tiger Woods not doing all that great, and I don't think old Scotty Skinny Slacks is doing all that great either.
No, Scheffler is not doing. He's a plus, I think, plus 3.
So we'll get into all of that and more. And then it's a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, is live from Pickles Pub coming up at 2 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. And then it's Baltimore Baseball Tonight with me, Mike Bordick, Ryan Ripken. We start at 6. It's going to be a mob scene down there. Come on down, say hello. And as usual, don't come empty-handed. And don't come 6:55 trying to offer things, because the kid's out the door by then. 5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. Featured Artist Friday. It's Phil Collins or Genesis, whichever you prefer. We're taking both. Matter of fact, we did the Philip Bailey duet earlier in the show. So one more segment to go. Make it a good one. 410-583-1057 Plaza 4 text line. Bob Eddy, Vinny Serrato. Orioles tonight. Philly 705. Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Yours truly, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick and Ryan Ripken, live from Pickles Pub. It's going to be mid-90s-ish. Humidity's going to be intense. The action, we assume, will be intense with two of the best teams in baseball, both offensively and pitching-wise and defensively, getting it on. And here to talk about it from a Philadelphia perspective, from WIP Radio up in Philly, let's welcome into the show Jack Fritz. Jack, good afternoon. What's happening?
Nothing much. Excited for this series. Hopefully it's a World Series preview.
That would be super terrific, because as you know, the Phillies have been to recent vintage World Series. Orioles haven't been to one, granted it was against Philadelphia, since Reagan's first term as president, and we don't want to start doing math, but not to make too much out of anything. Last couple of nights at Fenway, Boston kind of put up some crooked numbers there against the really good Philadelphia pitching. Any cause for concern with anything there?
No, I think this is strictly guys coming back from London. Aaron Nola hadn't pitched in 7 days. Chris Sanchez hadn't pitched in 8. So they got a little bit out of rhythm. And, I don't know how much the loss of J.T. Realmuto hurt the pitching staff, throwing to a new catcher, someone that they don't always throw to. But I think this is strictly coming off of London, a little bit of hangover there. And I assume their next start is back to business as usual.
And I was just going to ask you about JT. He's going down knee surgery out for an extended period of time. And, you know, the Phillies have had some other injuries. Trey Turner comes to mind, among others. How impressive has it been for them to navigate big injuries like they have? And does their JT Realmuto injury maybe put them up against it a little bit, at least in regards to position players?
Yeah, the lineup last night was pretty jarring for a team that has one of the best records in baseball. You felt the loss of Trey and JT and Brandon Marsh. So they've done a really, really good job. It speaks to their depth. Their shortstop, Edmundo Sosa, he really stepped up with Trey going out. I mean, during the time, he had like a 300. He had a 300 average with Trey going out. He started to slow down a little bit, you know, heading into this series. But they have really, really good depth, and they're definitely hungry off of what happened last year in the NLCS.
Talking to Jack Fritz, WIP Radio up in Philly. Orioles and Philadelphia Phillies start a three-game series, Oriole Park, Camden Yards tonight. Down Baltimore. Now let's get to the pitching that's coming to the, I mean, you guys are kind of loaded here, and it worked out perfectly, I guess, Jack, with Suarez, Bradish, Walker, Rodriguez, and then the big heavyweight matchup, Burns, Wheeler, coming up on a Sunday afternoon. But Ranger Suarez, yeah, not necessarily throwing 98, 99 miles an hour, but nobody's hitting him as he's 10-1, sub-2 earned run average. And we've seen glimpses of it before, but why the epiphany? Why has he been so difficult to figure out for opposing hitters so far?
Yeah, well, he's a pitcher. He's a nice throwback pitcher, and I agree with you. It's not 98. It's not blowing guys away. But what he does, I think, better than a lot of starting pitchers in baseball is you never know what pitch is about to come. You know, like right when you're sitting fastball, he'll throw a changeup. Right when you're sitting changeup, he dots a fastball in. So he does some old school traditional pitching against a righty. He gets a cutter up in on their hands, and then he can change them up to death away. Lefties, he's throwing a sinker into them that they're just having a tough time barreling up. So I think the best thing he has going for him is he's a mystery. He's a mystery from the standpoint of you don't know what pitch is coming. He can locate five pitches pretty much wherever he wants, and hitters can't really time him up. So it's been refreshing to watch. Like I'm a pitching nerd myself. So, you know, looking back to the, you know, early 2000s, 90s guys that were pure pitchers, he's a really fun throwback of a guy that 92, 93, but hits his spots, pitches backwards, and keeps a bunch of hitters off balance.
Now, Tuan Walker, tomorrow, this guy was the phenom dude coming up through the ranks. I remember watching MLB Network where he was like 360 dunking, showing off the athleticism. Now in his early 30s, had some injury issues, I guess, Jack, early in the season. How's he coming along, and is that stuff still as electric as it was before?
No, he's pretty brutal. I'm not going to lie. He is an excruciating watch on most nights. Now, they apparently did make a mechanical adjustment in the bullpen his last time out, and he went out and pitched 5 2/3. It was an inherited run, but he didn't allow a run. So he did pitch pretty well out in London, but it's 92. It's relatively flat. And then his splitter, three starts ago, heading into that game, his splitter was getting hit at a 5.15 average. People were lighting up his splitter. So it was good on Sunday in London. Maybe that was a bit of a fluke, but I definitely don't think he's someone that the Orioles should have too much problems with.
Hey, Jack, what's the buzz in Philly? And are a lot of Philly fans coming down for the weekend?
Yeah, the Philly fans have been traveling really, really well this year. Obviously, over in London, mostly Phillies fans. It was fun to see. And they actually, I think they kind of took over Fenway in these last couple of games. So I know people have been looking forward to it. I know a lot of my friends and people I know are heading down Saturday. Obviously, the Orioles have done really well attendance-wise as well. I believe ticket prices have definitely gone up a little bit here. But, yeah, I know a lot of people are planning to make the trip down, so it should be an energetic ballpark this weekend.
With the pitching matchups that they're having this week, what are your expectations offensively for both teams?
Yeah, well, listen, I love the Orioles lineup. I mean, I am a Jackson Holliday owner in fantasy. He has screwed me. But besides that, they are like Gunnar Henderson is phenomenal. Adley, I'm actually surprised Adley's not getting more MVP buzz. Obviously, Gunnar is really, really good, but I love Adley Rutschman. I think he's the Posey of the 2020s. But, you know, I think Saturday the Orioles should have a pretty good time with Taiwan. Tonight, probably tough. And then we're all looking forward to Sunday. I mean, Sunday, it's very rare that you have like two pure aces having like a key marquee matchup where you expect both to go at least seven. I mean, it's a nice little throwback from that standpoint. So offensively, the Phillies are struggling right now. You know, they don't have JT, they don't have Trey, they don't have Marsh. Some of their guys that were hot are slowing down. It is June, so Schwarber is heating right up. Bryce is coming up NL Player of the Month. So it's really going to have to be those two kind of carrying them. And you have to hope that, from our standpoint, Alec Bohm can heat back up, because he is batting .221 since May 1st with a 600 OPS. And before that, he had like a 1,200 OPS. So we need him to get going here. But I think the Phillies offense is probably going to struggle a little bit down in Baltimore.
Jack Fritz, WIP Radio up in Philadelphia. Jack, last thing for you. Orioles probably going to look for a bullpen arm. Could never have enough starting pitching. As the Phillies start to evaluate the roster, looking ahead to October, where's the need going to be personnel-wise for them?
Yeah, I think they need a bat in the middle of the lineup. So a name like Luis Robert obviously comes to mind. He is the one that a lot of people have been talking about. I think people are conflicted on, because he obviously has the injury history and hasn't, you know, he doesn't really walk a lot. He strikes out a good amount, but the upside is tantalizing. And it's interesting. I was talking about it on a podcast this morning. It feels like there's four teams, and the Orioles are in there, where it's all a bit of an arms race. I expect the Orioles to get Mason Miller if they can. They have the prospects to do it. They have the Yankees, who are having their best season in a long time. I think they have World Series aspirations, and it's the Dodgers. I think Phillies, Yankees, Dodgers, Orioles are the four best teams in baseball. And given the scarcity out there, I think the trade deadline has a chance to go down as one to remember, with all these teams kind of pushing their chips in.
And watch Cleveland finish with the best record in the major leagues. He's Jack Fritz, WIP, up in Philadelphia. Jack, appreciate the time. Enjoy the series this weekend, and maybe we will talk in October, if you know what I'm saying.
That sounds great. I look forward to it.
You got Thanks. It, bud. Jack Fritz, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan. Will come back, take a trip through the funhouse. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2 o'clock as they're live from Pickles Pub. Jason and Landlin making it happen. And then Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Savo Auto Parts. I guess it's fitting we end with this one. Fitting at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Featured Artist Friday. It's Phil Collins or Genesis, whichever you prefer. We're taking both. Matter of fact, we did the Philip Bailey duet earlier in the show. So one more segment to go. Make it a good one. 410-583-1057. Plaza 4 text line. Bob Haiti, Vinny Serrato. Orioles tonight. Philly, 705. Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Yours truly, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick and Ryan Ripken, live from Pickles Pub. It's going to be mid-90s-ish. Humidity's going to be intense. The action, we assume, will be intense, with two of the best teams in baseball, both offensively and pitching-wise and defensively, getting it on. And here to talk about it from a Philadelphia perspective, from WIP Radio up in Philly, let's welcome into the show Jack Fritz. Jack, good afternoon. What's happening?
Nothing much. Excited for the series. Hopefully it's a World Series preview.
That would be super terrific, because as you know, the Phillies have been to recent vintage World Series. Orioles haven't been to one. Granted, it was against Philadelphia since Reagan's first term as president, and we don't want to start doing math, but not to make too much out of anything. Last couple of nights at Fenway, Boston kind of put up some crooked numbers there against the really good Philadelphia pitching. Any cause for concern with anything there?
No, I think this is strictly guys coming back from London. Aaron Nola hadn't pitched in 7 days. Chris Sanchez hadn't pitched in 8. So they got a little bit out of rhythm. And, you know, I don't know how much the loss of J.T. Realmuto hurt the pitching staff, you know, throwing to a new catcher, someone that they don't always throw to. But I think this is strictly coming off of London, a little bit of hangover there. And I assume their next start is back to business as usual.
And I was just going to ask you about JT. He's going down knee surgery, out for an extended period of time. And, you know, the Phillies have had some other injuries. Trey Turner comes to mind, among others. How impressive has it been for them to navigate big injuries like they have? And does their JT Realmuto injury maybe put them up against it a little bit, at least in regards to position players?
Yeah, the lineup last night was pretty jarring for a team that has one of the best records in baseball. You felt the loss of Trey and JT and Brandon Marsh. So they've done a really, really good job. It speaks to their depth. Their shortstop, Edmundo Sosa, he really stepped up with Trey going out. I mean, during the time, he had like a 300 He had a 300 average with Trey going out. He started to slow down a little bit, you know, heading into this series. But they have really, really good depth, and they're definitely hungry off of what happened last year in the NLCS.
Talking to Jack Fritz, WIP Radio up in Philly. Orioles and Philadelphia Phillies start a three-game series, Oriole Park Camden Yards tonight. Down Baltimore. Now let's get to the pitching that's coming to the, I mean, you guys are kind of loaded here, and it worked out perfectly, I guess, Jack, with Suarez, Bradish, Walker, Rodriguez, and then the big heavyweight matchup, Burns, Wheeler, coming up on a Sunday afternoon. But Ranger Suarez, yeah, not necessarily throwing 98, 99 miles an hour, but nobody's hitting him as he's 10-1, sub-2 earned run average. And we've seen glimpses of it before, but why the epiphany? Why has he been so difficult to figure out for opposing hitters so far?
Yeah, well, he's a pitcher. He's a nice throwback pitcher, and I agree with you. It's not 98. It's not blowing guys away. But what he does, I think, better than a lot of starting pitchers in baseball is you never know what pitch is about to come. You know, like right when you're sitting fastball, he'll throw a changeup. Right when you're sitting changeup, he dots a fastball in. So he does some old school traditional pitching against a righty. He gets a cutter up in on their hands, and then he can change them up to death away. Lefties, he's throwing a sinker into them that they're just having a tough time barreling up. So I think the best thing he has going for him is he's a mystery. He's a mystery from the standpoint of you don't know what pitch is coming. He can locate five pitches pretty much wherever he wants, and hitters can't really time him up. So it's been refreshing to watch. Like I'm a pitching nerd myself. So, you know, looking back to the, you know, early 2000s, 90s guys that were pure pitchers, he's a really fun throwback of a guy that 92, 93, but hits his spots, pitches backwards, and keeps a bunch of hitters off balance.
Now, Tuan Walker, tomorrow, this guy was the phenom dude coming up through the ranks. I remember watching MLB Network where he was like 360 dunking, showing off the athleticism. Now in his early 30s, had some injury issues, I guess, Jack, early in the season. How's he coming along, and is that stuff still as electric as it was before?
No, he's pretty brutal. I'm not going to lie. He is an excruciating watch on most nights. Now, they apparently did make a mechanical adjustment in the bullpen his last time out, and he went out and pitched 5 2/3. It was an inherited run, but he didn't allow a run. So he did pitch pretty well out in London, but it's 92. It's relatively flat. And then his splitter. So I think three starts ago heading into that game, his splitter was getting hit at a 5.15 average. People were lighting up his splitter. So it was good on Sunday in London. Maybe that was a bit of a fluke, but I definitely don't think he's someone that the Orioles should have too much problems with.
Hey, Jack, what's the buzz in Philly? And are a lot of Philly fans coming down for the weekend?
Yeah, the Philly fans have been traveling really, really well this year. Obviously, over in London, mostly Philly fans. It was fun to see. And they actually, I think they kind of took over Fenway in these last couple of games. So I know people have been looking forward to it. I know a lot of my friends and people I know are heading down Saturday. Obviously, the Orioles have done really well attendance-wise as well. I believe ticket prices have definitely gone up a little bit here. But, yeah, I know a lot of people are planning to make the trip down, so it should be an energetic ballpark this weekend.
With the pitching matchups that they're having this week, what are your expectations offensively for both teams?
Yeah, well, listen, I love the Orioles lineup. I mean, I am a Jackson Holliday owner in fantasy. He has screwed me. But besides that, they are like Gunnar Henderson is phenomenal. Adley, I'm actually surprised Adley's not getting more MVP buzz. Obviously, Gunnar is really, really good, but I love Adley Rutschman. I think he's the Posey of the 2020s. But, you know, I think Saturday the Orioles should have a pretty good time with Taiwan. Tonight, probably tough, and then we're all looking forward to Sunday. I mean, Sunday, it's very rare that you have like two pure aces having like a key marquee matchup where you expect both to go at least seven. I mean, it's a nice little throwback from that standpoint. So offensively, the Phillies are struggling right now. You know, they don't have JT, they don't have Trey, they don't have Marsh. Some of their guys that were hot are slowing down. It is June, so Schwarber is heating right up. Bryce is coming up NL Player of the Month, so it's really gonna have to be those two kind of carrying them, and you have to hope that from our standpoint, Alec Bohm can heat back up because he is batting .221 since May 1st with a 600 OPS. And before that, he had like a 1200 OPS. So we need him to get going here. But I think the Phillies offense is probably going to struggle a little bit down in Baltimore.
Jack Fritz, WIP Radio up in Philadelphia. Jack, last thing for you. Orioles probably going to look for a bullpen arm. Could never have enough starting pitching. As the Phillies start to evaluate the roster, looking ahead to October, where's the need going to be personnel-wise for them?
Yeah, I think they need a bat in the middle of the lineup. So a name like Luis Robert obviously comes to mind. He is the one that a lot of people have been talking about. I think people are conflicted on because he obviously has the injury history and hasn't, you know, he doesn't really walk a lot. He strikes out a good amount, but the upside is tantalizing. And it's interesting. I was talking about it on a podcast this morning. It feels like there's four teams, and the Orioles are in there, where it's all a bit of an arms race. I expect the Orioles to get Mason Miller if they can. They have the prospects to do it. They have the Yankees, who are having their best season in a long time. I think they have World Series aspirations, and it's the Dodgers. I think Phillies, Yankees, Dodgers, Orioles are the four best teams in baseball. And given the scarcity out there, I think the trade deadline has a chance to go down as one to remember with all these teams kind of pushing their chips in.
And watch Cleveland finish with the best record in the major leagues. He's Jack Fritz, WIP, up in Philadelphia. Jack, appreciate the time. Enjoy the series this weekend, and maybe we will talk to you in October, if you know what I'm saying.
That sounds great. I look forward to it.
You got Thanks. It, bud. Jack Fritz, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney 105.7. The Fan will come back, take a trip through the Funhouse. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2 o'clock as they're live from Pickles Pub. Jason and Landlin making it happen. And then Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Savo Auto Parts. I guess it's fitting we end with this one. Sasudia from Phil Collins.
I thought we'd hear In the Air tonight.
That's right. That's an egregious mistake by our listeners, unless you play down, I wasn't paying attention, which is highly likely.
Well, sometimes the big hit isn't always the best.
Right.
I mean,
that is that's a really good song, though, In the Air tonight.
Yeah, you hear it enough the rest of the year.
Okay. Well, I remember when this was out in real time.
Yep.
You got sick of this within 3 weeks.
No doubt.
I mean, because
So do you.
Yeah. And I think this may have been a bigger hit chart-wise than In the Air Tonight.
Really?
Because In the Air Tonight was like his first solo stuff. By then, as we talked about earlier, he was taking the Concorde, flying all over the place because he was such demand. He would literally play two shows on two different continents. In the same day. That's Phil Collins. Everybody is chosen by you, the people. Father's Day coming up on Sunday. So, again, happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. And hope you get what you want. Saw a meme on social media where Mother's Day, it's lobster, it's filet. You know, we'll be getting Salisbury steak, swans, and dinners. Father's Day with a Snickers bar.
Bob, I remember, like, for, like, Charlie's hockey, his summer hockey, Mother's Day, no tournaments. Father's Day, always tournaments. You know, they don't care about
that. Fathers are the ones driving everybody to the tournament.
Yeah.
Nolan, what are your plans this weekend for your old man?
We'll celebrate tomorrow, and we are going a little luxurious. It's not lobster, but we are getting crabs. So
crustaceans, always strong.
Dad's request.
Nice.
Can't go wrong. Nice, easy gift.
And Vinny, what do you have planned?
Bob, to be totally honest, I'll be back from... Come back from New Jersey, and I'll watch the O's and then watch the golf. That's kind of it. Just me and Becky, the only ones home.
Yeah, and then tonight, as I said earlier, my wife and daughter are going to Merriweather, Pixies and Modest Mouse. I've heard of the Pixies. I remember them from the late 80s. But Modest Mouse, never heard of them. And my wife's trying to explain it to me. Well, they came out the same time as Alice in Chains. I said, don't you ever compare Modest Mouse to Alice in Chains. No, that's a non. I said, do they sound like Alice in Chains? She goes, no. So then why bring them up? There's no comparison.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, we did give away tickets to that show a couple months ago.
Oh,
I seem
then
to
they're
remember.
Awesome.
So
yeah, then they're great. Yeah,
a couple fan listeners down there.
Hey, good job. You'll enjoy it. But going up to see my buddy Joe Griffith tomorrow, who's been battling cancer for 6 years and finally got a little clearance to have some company. Nice. So we're going to go see him. And then Sunday, Father's Day. I have no idea. Swear to God, I have no clue what's going on.
You might be doing the same thing as me, but
I know there's a lawnmower in the equation.
Ooh,
at some
it's gonna
point.
Be hot.
So that's what's going on. But again, gentlemen, happy Father's Day to you. And if you're fortunate enough, like I am, that my dad's still kicking and all that good stuff, wish them a happy Father's Day as well. All right, Inside Access coming up here in a few, live from Pickles. Same thing with BBT. Salvo bringing us to you, me, Bordy, and Ryan Ripken, 6 o'clock. But let's go to the Funhouse.
First one here, Howard in Baltimore says he's not buying the Philadelphia hype. We'll see who is truly who this weekend. Feels like the same thing that Ravens fans always do when the Ravens are taking on a better opponent. Oversell the hype, maybe start panicking a little bit, then the Ravens end up winning big. I'm all in with the O's taking this series.
Oh, I'm with you 100% on that one. But Jack Fritsch just said, scuffling a little bit offensively. Yeah. They're banged up. Tuan Walker might be sacrificial, but then again, when we start looking at him, who's going to be serving up souvenirs, he might throw seven innings of three-hit ball. So I think the Orioles are going to win the series, but Philadelphia's legit. I mean, they've been, what, 9 games up in their division? Their playoff team, where they were in the World Series 2 years ago, lost in the NLCS. I mean, that's a strong ball club right there.
This texter here, also excited, says, great test for the Orioles. A lot of folks around baseball will be watching to see how both teams perform against each other. Feels like a midterm exam.
Well, MLB Network's pimping it as a must-see series this weekend, and it is. But let's be honest. Take 2 out of 3, root for Boston. The real test comes Tuesday up in the Bronx, because now you're kind of staring at first place, perhaps.
And we talked about this with Jack as well, but this texter says the pitching matchups are what really makes this weekend series appealing and gives it that playoff feel. Bradish, Suarez, Burns, Wheeler, those feel like games 1 and 2 of the World Series, not the middle of June.
Yeah, that Burns Wheeler is going to be outstanding. Wheeler's been great for Philadelphia since they got him. And what's Burns' 9 straight quality starts rolling? Something says it's probably going to be like 10-6, and you know, but neither will factor in the decision when it's all said and done.
And I got one more here talking about the NBA. Texter says, I know the hater mentality will be to knock the Celtics for having a quote easy road to the title, but they did dominate the regular season and are making quick work of a healthy Mavs team. That says it all to me.
Yeah, I don't hate the Celtics. Yeah. I mean, I have no issue with them, but yes,
Boston.
Jimmy Buckets was out, Miami. Then Mitchell got hurt after Mitchell lit him up in game 2. And then they lose, Indiana does, Halliburton. Look, they've been playing most of the playoffs without Porzingis, who helped them win game 1, in all fairness. So I don't hate on Boston. This is something that has been, they've been close to achieving this. Finals 2 years ago, losing game 7, conference finals last year, as big favorites, by the way. But I don't hate Boston. I think they're going to close out Dallas, and it'll be a well-earned NBA championship. What, do you apologize for beating the teams on your schedule? Of course you don't. Right.
Injuries happen.
You do what you got to do. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next. Jason and Tim live from Pickles Pub. They're ready to rock and roll, and I'm sure you're there saying hello to them. Don't forget to stay and hang out with us for BBT. Brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, me, Ryan Ripken, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. That's going to be fun as well. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Happy Father's Day, fellas. We'll talk to you on Monday. Stay safe. Stay healthy. For now, class dismissed. I guess it's fitting we end with this one. Sasa Sudia from Phil Collins.
I thought we'd hear In the Air tonight.
That's right. That's an egregious mistake by our listeners, unless you played it. I wasn't paying attention, which is highly likely.
Sometimes the big hit isn't always the best.
Right.
I mean,
that is that's a really good song, though, In the Air tonight.
You hear it enough the rest of the year.
Okay. Well, I remember when this was out in real time.
Yep.
You got sick of this within 3 weeks.
No doubt.
I mean, because
Sodium.
Yeah. And I think this may have been a bigger hit chart-wise than In the Air Tonight.
Really?
Because In the Air Tonight was like his first solo stuff. By then, as we talked about earlier, he was taking the Concorde, flying all over the place because he was such demand. He would literally play 2 shows on 2 different continents. In the same day. That's Phil Collins. Everybody is chosen by you, the people. Father's Day coming up on Sunday. So, again, happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. And hope you get what you want. Saw a meme on social media where Mother's Day, it's lobster, it's filet. You know, we'll be getting Salisbury steak, Swanson dinners. Father's Day with a Snickers bar.
Bob, I remember, like, for like Charlie's hockey, his summer hockey, Mother's Day, no tournaments. Father's Day, always tournaments. You know, they don't care about
that. Fathers are the ones driving everybody to the tournament.
Yeah.
Nolan, what are your plans this weekend for your old man?
We'll celebrate tomorrow, and we are going a little luxurious. It's not lobster, but we are getting crabs. So
crustaceans, always strong.
Dad's request.
Nice.
Can't go wrong. Nice, easy gift.
And Vinny, what do you have planned?
Bob, to be totally honest, I'll be back from New Jersey, and I'll watch the O's and then watch the golf. That's kind of it. Just me and Becky, the only ones home.
Yeah, and then tonight, as I said earlier, my wife and daughter are going to Merriweather, Pixies and Modest Mouse. I've heard of the Pixies. I remember them from the late 80s. But Modest Mouse, never heard of them. And my wife's trying to explain it to me. Well, they came out the same time as Alice in Chains. I said, don't you ever compare Modest Mouse to Alice in Chains. No. That's a non. I said, do they sound like Alice in Chains? She goes, no. So then why bring them up? There's no comparison.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, we did give away tickets to that show a couple months ago.
Oh,
I seem
then
to
they're
remember.
Awesome.
So,
yeah, then they're great. Yeah,
a couple fan listeners down there.
Hey, good job. You enjoy it. But going up to see my buddy Joe Griffith tomorrow, who's been battling cancer for 6 years and finally got a little clearance to have some company. Nice. So we're going to go see him. And then Sunday, Father's Day. I have no idea. Swear to God, I have no clue what's going on.
You might be doing the same thing as me, but
I know there's a lawnmower in the equation.
Ooh,
at some
it's gonna be
point.
Hot.
So that's what's going on. But again, gentlemen, happy Father's Day to you. And if you're fortunate enough, like I am, that my dad's still kicking and all that good stuff, wish them a happy Father's Day as well. All right, Inside Access coming up here in a few, live from Pickles. Same thing with BBT. Salvo bringing us to you, me, Bordy, and Ryan Ripken, 6 o'clock. But let's go to the funhouse.
First one here, Howard in Baltimore says he's not buying the Philadelphia hype. We'll see who is truly who this weekend. Feels like the same thing that Ravens fans always do when the Ravens are taking on a better opponent. Oversell the hype, maybe start panicking a little bit, then the Ravens end up winning big. I'm all in with the O's taking this series.
Oh, I'm with you 100% on that one. But Jack Fritsch just said, scuffling a little bit offensively. Yeah. They're banged up. Tuan Walker might be sacrificial. But then again, when we start looking at him, who's going to be serving up souvenirs, he might throw seven innings of three-hit ball. So I think the Orioles are going to win the series. But Philadelphia's legit. I mean, they've been, what, 9 games up in their division? Their playoff team, where they were in the World Series 2 years ago, lost in the NLCS. I mean, that's a strong ball club right there.
This texter here, also excited, says, great test for the Orioles. A lot of folks around baseball will be watching to see how both teams perform against each other. Feels like a midterm exam.
Well, MLB Network's pimping it as a must-see series this weekend, and it is, but let's be honest. Take 2 out of 3, root for Boston. The real test comes Tuesday up in the Bronx, because now you're kind of staring at first place, perhaps.
And we talked about this with Jack as well, but this texter says the pitching matchups are what really makes this weekend series appealing and gives it that playoff feel. Bradish, Suarez, Burns, Wheeler, those feel like games 1 and 2 of the World Series, not the middle of June.
Yeah, that Burns, Wheeler is going to be outstanding. Wheeler's been great for Philadelphia since they got him. And what's Burns' 9 straight quality starts rolling? Something says it's probably going to be like 10-6, and you know, but neither will factor in the decision when it's all said and done.
And I got one more here talking about the NBA. Texter says, I know the hater mentality will be to knock the Celtics for having a, quote, easy road to the title, but they did dominate the regular season and are making quick work of a healthy Mavs team. That says it all to me.
Yeah, I don't hate the Celtics. No. I mean, I have no issue with them. But yes,
Boston.
Jimmy Buckets was out Miami. Then Mitchell got hurt after Mitchell lit him up in Game 2. And then they lose, Indiana does, Halliburton. Look, they've been playing most of the playoffs without Porzingis, who helped them win Game 1. in all fairness. So I don't hate on Boston. This is something that has been, they've been close to achieving this finals 2 years ago, losing game seven, conference finals last year as big favorites, by the way. But I don't hate Boston. I think they're going to close out Dallas, and it'll be a well-earned NBA championship. What, do you apologize for beating the teams on your schedule? Of course you don't.
Injuries happen.
You do what you got to do. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next. Jason and Tim live from Pickles Pub. They're ready to rock and roll, and I'm sure you're there saying hello to them. Don't forget to stay and hang out with us for BBT, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, me, Ryan Ripken, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. That's going to be fun as well. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Happy Father's Day, fellas. We'll talk to you on Monday. Stay safe. Stay healthy. For now, class dismissed.